Blog Talk Radio.
Holy Spirit God walking up and down our frame from our lowest members of our toes all the way to the beautiful crowns of our head. Praise the Lord and welcome to Fire, the gospel experience that is dedicated to honoring the true and only living creator God. Now is the time, beloved, to let our minds, bodies, and souls be renewed and refreshed in our relationship with our great, wonderful and magnificent God, our Father. And oh yes, indeed, what can I say about his precious and beautiful Son, our Prince of Peace, our wonderful Messiah and Redeemer, Savior Jesus the Christ. Words can express the gratitude that we feel about our Savior Jesus the Christ. Is unashamedly, unapologetically, as well as unequivocally declared to be the only Redeemer, y'all. He's the only acceptable Lamb of God. I promise you, he's the only chosen one with the keys of life, death, hell, the grave, and to our beautiful eternal life. He's our only hope and light in this dark, lost, and dying world that we are living in. And we are living in it because we are living our lives brand new in God. I'm your purpose and power-driven host, Ron E. Jefferson. And I'm here to bring you the most uplifting spiritual soul inspiration, as well as some of the most anointed gospel music that has ever been made and ever been played. Fire, fire, fire. The gospel experience will light, ignite, and fan those flames that's in your spirit, man, woman, boy, or girl, because God is not a respected person. He just wants you to be that victorious believer in Jesus Christ. He's just looking for a humble heart, y'all, to worship and fellowship with him in spirit and in truth. We will be embracing for your spiritual consideration as well as your spiritual nutrition from the book of Matthew, the 5th chapter, verses 43 and 44. Lord Jesus, we read where our Messiah, Jesus the Christ, is declaring what our response and behavior should be with our enemies. But the question is, are we applying the proper spiritual templates when we encounter our enemies? There are certain scriptures that are used regarding our enemies, but I've been stirred in my spirit, y'all, to seek the true translation of some scriptures that I believe we need to reexamine. I promise you, I had a whole nother program outlined to give y'all spiritual consideration for, but just this morning, September the 17th, 2022, Holy Spirit God directed me to this scripture verse that's been in my spirit for some years. And so we're going to take a look at what does our Lord Jesus say about our enemies. This is where I found true revelation and understanding, y'all. We're going to talk about dying enemies. Yes, we're going to talk about enemies because we all have them. The devil made sure of that, and then we've crossed some lines and stepped on some toes on our own. But thank God that our Lord Jesus in the Holy Bible has given us the proper remedy for all of our enemies. Amen. My special guest is here, phenomenal woman of God, apostle, TV radio personality, author, real estate agent. I didn't know that. Global speaker, choreographer, woman of God, Dr. Sherita Lovelace is here. And if you don't know Sherita Lovelace, then you just need to know Dr. Sherita Lovelace, because she's a woman of God that is doing some things. Did you just hear all those resume titles that I've just written and just spoken? This woman of God is here to break down some bread of life that's going to give us some instruction, some wisdom, and her faith walk experience where we can be blessed by following some of her suggestions, advice, and just listen to her awesome testimony. And then later on in the broadcast, our shine on the spotlight will be on gospel artist, man of God, chosen with a Z, Juan, not O-N-E-W-O-N, because he's a winner in Christ, just like you are. If you confess and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ rose from the dead for your sins, I promise you, the word of God, Romans 10:9-10, says that you shall be saved. And we're saved from what? First of all, we're saved from ourselves. We're saved from the enemy. And we're saved from, most of all, God's judgment, which is eternal separation from the Almighty One, which is what you definitely don't want. So listen, call a family member. Call a friend. Call somebody that's in your spirit right now. I dare you. And let them know that Brother Ron C. Jefferson is back indeed on the internet to give you some good fire gospel experience and honor God in the whole process, foremost and first of all. We give you praise, God. We give you high honor. We give you glory. We submit our lives to you all over again for this brand new day that you've given us. Hallelujah goes right there. Thank you, Holy Spirit, God, for your presence over our lives, for leading, guiding us, for moving us the way you will have us to go. And right now, we thank you for lighting the fuse that's going to set the internet and the radio airwaves on Holy Ghost, sanctified, fire, fire, fire. there's one thing more than anything else that makes the devil and our enemies mad, it's the favor of God. Lord Jesus on my life. Sounds the woman of God, Joy Bryan, here on Fire, Fire, Fire. Starting that bad boy off flaming hot, y'all. Favor of God is on your life. So you just keep on keeping on. Don't worry about hard times, trials, temptations. Remember and instill this, please, 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 deep down in your soul, that you are always in the favor of God. Don't you know those tough times, those hard times, those challenging times are just going to be evidence for you first of all and for everyone else that bears witness on your life. I saw her go through. I didn't even think he was going to make it. But then all of a sudden the hand of God, the favor, raised you back up again. And even people that don't even go to church and believe in God cannot deny, I saw him, I saw her when they was going through. Didn't think I was going to make it. They were shaking their head left and right. And lo and behold, here comes God. But God. Thank you, woman of God, Joy Bryan, for starting this fire, fire, fire gospel experience off just right. I feel the burning down in my soul. My special guest, Lord Jesus, this is a phenomenal woman of God that is going to bless us right here, right now. I'm talking about apostle, TV, radio personality, author, real estate agent, global speaker, not just on the street corner, but she'll take it wherever Holy Spirit God sends it, as well as choreography. I am just excited to have this woman of God back. It's been a while, and she has her own phenomenal platform that I was blessed and privileged to be on. And I said, woman of God, you got to return the favor. You got to come on back and be with me on Fire the Gospel Experience, y'all. And here she is, woman of God, doctor. I said, Dr. Sherita Lovelace on Fire the Gospel Experience. Hallelujah. Yes. Indeed, Dr. Sherita Lovelace, welcome to Fire. Welcome back to Fire, the Gospel Experience, woman of God. How you doing?
Hey, so happy to be here. You just have me smiling ear to ear because I just love the energy and the awesomeness that takes place when I connect with you. I love what you're doing. I am so honored to be back on your platform. It is fire, so... whatever was going on before we got on this call, I'm on fire right now, so I'm good.
Amen. And that's the beauty of it. That's why it's such a phenomenal exchange and encounter when those of us that have been dipped in the blood and washed have a renewed mindset, our spirits have been cleansed, our intentions are whole and edifying, and our gifts are becoming apparent, so that whenever we connect, whatever spirit that you have in you of God connects with the other people that have the same spirit of God, and we just embrace each other in a spirit of joy and a spirit of beautiful fellowship. And that's what it is when the saints of God get together. Woman Sherita Lovelace, you know this.
Yes. Amen. Agreed. Absolutely. Amen.
So welcome, welcome back. Why don't you just go ahead, take a little time as you see fit at your leisure and introduce yourself to the listening audience. Tell us who Dr. Sherita Lovelace is, and we're just going to let the spiritual conversation flow from there.
Oh, Jesus. Okay, well, I guess in a nutshell, originally from California, you know, but I've been in Atlanta for several years, came here for graduate school and ended up staying here. After that, been licensed in ministry since 2006. However, I've been serving in a ministerial capacity since probably 19 years old. So about 30 years. Back in the day, I was in the pageant industry. So I'm a former Miss Black California, former Miss Black USA finalist. And so, but in that time, God was still working out of me. So I did a lot of... choreography and God kind of pushed that into travel once I really began to accept my call. I've been to do work, mission work to preach and teach in Israel. I've been to Ghana, Canada, China, Nigeria.
Awesome.
Jamaica, just to name a few for ministry. And I've been, I guess I have a lot of, maybe about 20 years of combined experience working and developing and leading churches and equipping leaders for the kingdom. Lots of street evangelism, a couple of that as well. And so right now I have been focused mostly on a lot of evangelism. I've written, working on the second book right now, my first book, Sleeping Beauty Dream Again, The Study of Dreams, Activating Destiny, that deals with basically kind of some of my ground of testimony of things that I've been through in this journey of life and ministry, but it also helps people to tap their dream and understand prophetically how to plan for their lives and to move forward in their callings. Do a show right now. Kind of got into the component of media. I was asked. People always say, did you do it because your sister did it? Nah, wasn't on none of my radar. I just did ministry for years. But I was approached one day out the blue, continuing my walk in the ministry with a component of media. And so after praying, started the Triumphant Radio Show broadcast, been with some awesome platforms. The show has been broadcast internationally. So I continue to do that on Monday nights and working on some other side projects now, just kind of waiting for it. And so been able to do that, been on a few radio stations. I'm just kind of keeping it simple. And other TV stations locally and internationally just to share the gospel and also share in testimony as well. Do a lot of red carpet work for a lot of the award shows, the Stella Awards, Life Awards, Spin Awards, Play Factor Awards, Self Choice, wherever God sends me. And then, you know, so a few magazines, et cetera. But at the end of the day, I just want to serve God. I want to stay in a place of humility, even though he's just allowed me to do so much. Because at the end, I just feel like God always works, because I don't forget the trials that I've had to go through. In the gosh, I'm 50 years old, you know, and so at the age that I am now, you know, a lot of people don't know, you know, that I've been through so much, and that's why my passion and heart is for the gospel and for the kingdom. And so really, no award, no platform, no accolade, none of that means anything if you don't understand who you are, your identity in Christ. And so this is how God has me using my voice in the ministry, in the media mountain, not climbing the mountain as somebody once thought. No, we serve on different mountains. We serve on governmental mountains. We serve on industry mountains. We serve in the educational mountain. So I'm in the media mountain as well as still equipping churches that call me for workshops around our state right now and across the country. So just doing a lot, you know. God just had me do so much, and I'm just grateful. And I just don't want to stop until he says stop and shifts me over. So right now I'm just moving according to his will with him going before me. So that's just a chat, you know, about my life. And so that's
amen.
Enough, I think.
Well, you know, You said a tremendous amount, and I'm going to say this, too. I am so encouraged by you, because the things that God has accomplished in you, regardless if you get a few wrinkles here and there, if you get a few gray hairs, woman of God, 50 years old means that you're grown anywhere. You can go anywhere and get in at half price at 50 years old. So I just want you to know some of the extra bonuses of being at the big 5-0. It's all good, because what I've understood, woman of God, is that he said that he will retain our youth as the eagle does fly upward. So I always tell people I'm 62 years young, because I can reflect back on all my younger stages of life, and I have asked God to keep that youthful remembrance and vibrancy in me. There is a scripture verse in the Old Testament. Brother Caleb, who was one of the two spies that was with Joshua, that came back with the favorable report about, let's go get our land, when the other 10 said, we just grasshoppers. That young man, Caleb, was 80 years old, still swinging a battle axe on the front line. It's in the scriptures. And when I read that, I said, God, if you allow me some of what Caleb received, so that even as the years advance, I don't lose my natural strength. I don't lose my effervescent faith walk. It's a combination of mind, body, and soul, and I understand that. So what I would like for you to do, woman of God, I told you I was going to give you some unexpected prophetic things. I would love for you to share, out of all of your ministry works, what is the most prevailing ministry that has most of your full attention right now? Out of everything that God has blessed you with, apostleship, radio, TV personality, author, real estate agent, global speaker. Right now, where is your heart being pulled to maximize the most, is what we would like to know.
Oh, my God. Equipping. I just believe that we are in these times of the world where if we, those of us that have been given gifts or platforms or positions to oversee or lead or carry forth an assignment, if we are not equipped and grounded according to the details God has given us to carry forth that assignment, we will not stand. And in this season, in this time, we are dealing with an increased an unsurmountable amount for many people, amount of warfare. And if we don't recognize the fact that as the warfare increases, we have to increase our walk, our battle armor, our connectivity, our ammunition even more. If we don't understand that, then as these days and weeks and months go by, we are going to be fighting a losing battle because we have not been well equipped to stand in the midst of the storm coming our way in this year. And so I know in this season, God has called for some, those that have been called, especially in the fivefold gifted areas, but in any capacity of leadership where you are able to be influential to believers and unbelievers, this is a season where you've got to know what you know, what you know. You have to know that you have a purpose and know what
you
cannot mimic anybody in this season. You have to literally walk in the actual position in the role God called you to, understand it, know its purpose, and carry it out with full authority, with full power, because God will only allow you to access that which he has given you a key to. And so in order for us to stand as one body, knowing that we all have different parts, we each have to know our part in that. And so my heart is to equip leaders, whether you are in the church, whether you are out of church, to continue that walk in that, because wherever you serve, whether it's in the media, whether it's at your job, whether it's you're starting a label, whatever it is, you've got to know why you're there and know how to remain in that position. Your name alone is not going to keep you. Your work and your thought and your flesh is not going to keep you. Your beautiful face and your flyers and your promotions is not going to keep you. What's going to keep you is the revelation that God will release into your spirit to allow you to have a foundation that remains steadfast and unmovable. That way, when the winds come and the turbulence comes, or the backbiting comes, or the naysayer, or the gossiper, whatever it is that the enemy knows makes you mad and trigger, whenever that comes, you're going to be able to stand and declare what thus says the Lord. So God is looking for trusted leaders who know where they're called, but who are surrendered to his will and not our own will, so that when he gets ready to put us on front lines and in positions and places that he knows our desires in our hearts, that we will not fail and that we will know that we will not die out. Because we know when we walk in a place of victory, we're walking in a place where we're walking Christ-like. When you're in Christ-like and you know your DNA or your identity, there is no failure in God. And so when we begin to dedicate every part and increment of what we do to God, we will win what's to come. And then we will show the world that we're the light of the world. You know, I believe in the Lord. Show me this today. I believe that next year is a light year. Next year is a light year. That means that those that are going to be surrendered in position to get equipped for the call that God has on their life in whatever industry you operate in, God is going to allow your life to shine before men, that they'll see the good works that God does through you. Some people think their lights are shiny because of numbers, or they think their light is shiny because of what they do or because of their intellect and their intelligence. But God needs a spiritual light, a light that is just bright. That's why in the beginning, that's what he did. He knew that there was a separation that would take place in Genesis. So we are right now the generation, the chosen generation that God is calling for us to be ready. We're a remnant generation. We have to make sure we understand what it means to lead and not dictate and dominate. We only dominate sin. We dominate the sinner. And so we have to understand who we are, why we do, and be more surrendered and more humble in our walk in this season. And then I know what we're going to be talking about today is going to touch in on that as well. But definitely, my heart is continue to equip the body of believers so that we can truly be the light and stand no matter what industry or area of life God has you operating in. That is what God has called me to do. I've been doing it for years, and above everything else, when you ask what my heart is, that is my heart, to equip the body of Christ.
Oh, amen. Now, I guess my listeners understand why you're here now and why I was so excited to have you come, because you could have just carried on the show all by yourself. I felt like I just wanted to let you just go ahead and have the whole pulpit, just give you the microphone, let you just go on and preach, because I felt a sermon coming up out of you. I hope you was taking notes, woman of God. It's probably already embedded in your spirit. That is a sermon right there that you will be speaking, I would say, in more detail fully somewhere in the near future with what you just started. Woman of God, I am just curious as to what would you say is our world's condition in light of us as believers? I heard you just get through very profoundly sharing about equipping the saints, and I wholeheartedly agree with you on that matter, because no one sends a doctor, a potential medical student, without giving them the proper information, knowledge, and the tools to be able to perform operations and diagnose on the doctoral level once they complete all of their assignments. No one would expect a plumber to come to their house without the proper tools and the proper training. Why is it that many of us Christians think that just coming to church and Bible studying and opening up our Bibles periodically and only praying in times of desperation or greedy need is sufficient enough to be a light in this dark world? We've got to go beyond that. Share a little bit about what is it the body of Christ needs to re-examine within our own lives personally and collectively to be more impactful and stop being hesitant, stop being ashamed of the gospel of our Lord Jesus the Christ.
I think one thing we have to understand that we are in a place where God has already begun a shifting in many of us. And he's also still doing even a more of a shifting as well. And so what's happening is not only just globally, but also in our local areas and our territories, things are shifting. There are some people that feel that as the things shift, that, you know, well, what's going on? Or I can just keep doing what I'm doing or stay in the same position or place. But
right.
when God begins to shift the thing, you have to be able to tap in and shift with him. So as we're moving in these days and watching what's going on, whether it's through the media, whether it's through our natural revelation as we commune with God or just in our lives, we have to tap in and ask God to reveal more of him to us in this season. Because what happens is if we stay in the same place and the same mindset, then when the shift comes, it will go. If we don't go with the shift, then we'll be left behind, meaning that we will not be well equipped or well have a well level of comprehending what's happening in the world. We can't keep a one-track mind. So even as we operate in our lives, in our places, our platforms, or wherever God has us, we have to stay in a place where we're paying attention to what that shift looks like. Because with every shift, it gets uncomfortable. And I tell you, there's so many people that are uncomfortable in areas of their life, and it's causing them to react in a way that doesn't deliver new wisdom, new manna, a new refreshing. We have to respond in a way that, God, whatever you're trying to do, just keep me steadfast and unmovable in this shifting season.
Please.
Because our shifting is going, we're going to another place in the world. We're going to another place in life. We thought it happened in 2020. It's still going on. What's happened is so many people got relaxed, and they began to allow themselves to be the platform and the eye of God and the eye of kingdom. And God is kind of doing a little bit of shaking even now with us, because he's saying, nah, I gave you a minute in 2020 to pause, but now I'm coming back in. It's like I'm coming back through, and I'm going to be doing some more things, and I need you to be ready, because we are shifting again. And if you do not surrender yourself in a place to understand what that looks like or feels like, which is revealed through the Holy Spirit, then you'll be left behind. That shifting that is happening with us now means that we got to check up on our armor. Is my mind right?
Come on.
Do I got my breastplate on? Am I walking in truth? Are the things that happened to me last season, last month, or last year that kept me down or kept me in one place, you know, am I still dealing with that, or have I let that go? Because when God begins to move in you, there's certain things he's going to have to sever, and you're going to have to be okay with that. He's going to have to prune, and you're going to have to be okay with that. He's going to have to be able to tell you, okay, change your mind, change your thinking, or change your circle, change your crowd, change how you move. And you're going to have to be okay with that, because everyone doesn't understand and everyone can't go. When God moves us, he's also sharpening our gifts. He's making sure that where we
Come
go,
on.
We can still be in a prosperity, that we can still be in a place where we what? Seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness.
That's it.
So that we can see the blessing. So when the season changed and people said, oh, it's a new seasons and there's blessings upon blessings. Yes, but it comes with a price. And the price is called surrendering to the shift. Within the shift, you get the revelation. When you're on your knees, you'll find out what it is God is doing with you, and you'll be able to get that new, and you'll be able to remain planted in that place. And you'll be able to also be identifiable to the unbeliever. And you'll also be able to be a real, genuine light that brings forth transformation to the unbeliever. Because we're still in a place where God is saying, listen, I need some people to really show the miracle signs and wonders of what I can do and who I am. And so pay attention to the shift that's taking place in the spirit and in the natural. And allowing the Lord to reveal to you what that means and what that looks like for you is key for us right now, because we have too many people trying to reinvent themselves thinking that they don't have it together. Nah, God has it together. He's not following the leader. The leader reinvents and restores and repairs and reconstructs. You don't do it. So ask him, whatever's happened to me, Lord, in this season, whatever I'm feeling is uncomfortable, Lord, what are you refreshing, or what are you, God, reestablishing or renewing in me so that I stay in your will and your purposes, and I go with the shift and I don't get left behind?
Amen. Amen. You said a whole mouthful right there, woman of God. When we come back after the music break, I want you to just share your thoughts, and then we're going to get into what our program theme is from Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 and 44, talking about our enemies. But after the music break, I want you to meditate on this question. I want you to speak on two issues that have me concerned in regard to the church body and evangelism. That is that when we share Jesus the Christ, when we share our Christian faith, it seems like we focus in on the people that are going through the difficult times, the hard times, maybe facing health crisis, maybe facing some sort of legal action, potentially incarceration. But what that does is that gives a one-sided perspective about Christianity only being necessary for the handicapped people. I want you to address that. But also, too, on the other side of that spectrum, there's a whole group of people that says, I'm not going through any of those things, so why do I need God? And they're basing their souls, I'm going to say residency, in terms of relationship with God, on the fact that morally they're good people. And that is one of the toughest people to share our faith with, people that think that they're already good. You tuned in to Fire the Gospel Experience. I'm just grateful, like Jay's soul and God's creation are about to sing, that God is the God of one more chance. Yes, thank you, God, for endless number of chances. You tuned in to Fire the Gospel Experience.
Put your hands together, dog. Come on. Come on. Listen here. Oh, Lord. When I was down, didn't have the finances to pull me through. And I thought you had turn your back on me. I realized it wasn't true. When my soul was sinking in the world of sin, Jesus, oh Jesus, you came and took me and saved
you.
You blessed me. Didn't have the finances to pull me through. And I thought you had turned your back on me. I realized that it wasn't true. When my soul was sinking, yes, in the world of sin,
Listening to Fire, the gospel explosion where the praises are going up and the worries are going away. Playing for you the best and the newest gospel music on the planet and the most inspiring encouragement under God's heaven. Keep tuning in and bless your family, your friends, and your coworkers by telling them about Fire.
Amen, amen, goes right there. I'm just grateful to God for that one more chance. Thank you, woman of God, Annette Clark, for sending us J-Soul and God's Creation. I appreciate all you hardworking managers that have always and for a period of longevity continue to support this fire gospel experience by sending all this anointed gospel music and those anointed gospel artists, sending prayers out for all the gospel artists that are out there committed to Christ and living and submitting their lives to that ministry that Holy Spirit God is overseeing. I'm just grateful for all of you because you all are part of the body of Christ, and we are all working together. Just like woman of God, my special guest, Dr. Sherita Lovelace, has been saying, I don't have to do what you do. All I have to do, woman of God, is just concentrate on the calling that God has given me and place me into the body of Christ. I am concerned, Dr. Sherita Lovelace, about how sometimes those of us that are in the church seem like we'll have some sort of feelings about somebody that has a particular gift, like, they may preach a little better than me. They may sing a little bit better than me. They'll never admit it out loud, but deep down in their spirit, they feel like this person maybe can teach a little bit better than me. Can you share with us? I know what I asked you to share before, and we'll get to it. Can you speak to the body of Christ about how we may be having some animosity with each other and how that is nothing but a strategy of the devil to cause division?
Yeah, I love that question, and so much flows in my head, so I'm going to try to keep it contained. But one thing, when we're talking about the gifts and watching people work and do their things, you know, I do. My mind does go back to first, you know, Matthew 28, when it talks about the Great Commission, and he says, go and make disciples and teach them everything I've commanded you, so forth. And I think where believers get maybe self-esteem concerns or don't feel that they're good enough, or some feel that they're better, is because there are people that keep crossing over into other lanes. And what happens is when you're not knowing where you're to be, or when you're doing too much, then you end up making a distorted body. And then what happens is everything carries a spirit. So all these different spirits are colliding within each other because the body is in disarray. God called order for the church, just like in the courts of heaven. He brings order. So even when the enemy tries to approach the courts and talk about you as an individual, then we have to understand what the word of God says about us in order to shut the mouth of the enemy. Part of what we have to do as an individual believer is kind of know, when you hear know it for yourself, I promise you as a witness, it is so true. We can look at mega churches, mega pastors, people doing all kind of works in the kingdom, in the industry. But if you don't know that you know that you know for yourself, you're going to have a hard time, and you'll be that person tossed back and forth. It starts really your foundation. So whether or not I went to church back when I was 5 and 12 and all that, or whether or not I've been singing since I was 8, or whether or not, and I'm just naming stuff, none of that matters if I don't understand the fact that my foundation has to be right. So then when I get the enemy telling me lies in my ear, I can combat that with the word. Now, what's my ammunition against stop for comparing myself against other believers or non-believers and making sure discipleship happens even within me? It means that first I have to know who I am through prayer life. I have to be able to have a relationship with who I say I am. I can't keep using the name of God and the language of God, but doing my own platform and expecting the flesh not to rise up. I have to literally walk in it. So if I say I have a passion for worship, I have to understand what that means and walk in it. So when I come amongst other believers, I say they have the same thing. I won't be wavered when they get called to go to this place or called to be on that stage or that platform. Because I understand that my passion for worship is assigned to a different place or a territory. And so back when we talk about going and doing and discipling, it comes back to us as individuals, unfortunately. So therefore, when God feels that you are a ready believer to do and carry out your assignment where you won't be tossed, when he's ready, he'll be able to take you to different places and territories to do it because he knows that you're not going to be wavered or worried about who's given to you and who's not. Now, I've been in places, even myself, like, well, geez, why are they like that? Or what's going on, God? Or what about me? Back in the day when I didn't understand totally where I am, where do I fit in the body of Christ? And so it boils down back to me. You got to be delivered yourself before you try to come up and deliver people. You can tell when a person has not been fully delivered their mindset because they treat people indifferently. They act people. They have boundaries and barriers with people. They don't carry forth the fruit of the Spirit with all people. So you can tell who has not really been delivered because it's a personal thing. Everything starts with us as an individual. Everything starts with us with how we walk and talk and treat one another. There is no competition in God. There isn't, because when he comes back, we all going back, and he's going to just say, you know what, where are my people, my children? You know, where are these ambassadors? You know, God, he's going to come back for those who have just been willing to know what it means to have the heart just to serve. And so the gift that he gives us is not for us to show I'm good and I'm better and all this other stuff, but it's just to show that this is the avenue God gave me to advance the kingdom of God. So what's happening is our churches don't grow because we don't understand discipleship. We don't understand that it starts with us and our growth and how we understand the prayer life, how we understand the war against in the spirit, how we understand to read the word and allow it to truly come alive. Right? So when we don't understand any of that and we jump into these gifts and abilities, we're going to get tossed back and forth because we're thinking that we should be somewhere where God didn't assign us. I remember understanding the word platform, and the word plat, P-L-A-T, stood out to me because it tells us that when God gives you a platform, he gives you a jurisdictional authority plat, a boundary, an area, and that area is to serve. When you understand your assignment, when you understand the equipment that it takes, when you understand what's lacking in it and what it needs to grow in it, and when you understand it by the voice of the Lord, you will begin to thrive, mature, and grow and be able to help others around you.
I believe.
When you take a platform and you forget about the plat and you just want to form something, then you're all over the place and your mindset is going to be all over the place. Because in the kingdom says, I'm ascending. When I walk as a kingdom ambassador, I'm ascended. I say that I'm, Lord, keep my mind seated in a heavenly place. That means when my enemies start to come up against me, my mind stays up because I'm in a kingdom mindset. So now we're talking about me again. We're talking about that individual person. Where is your mindset? Is it kingdom? Or do you have the mind that's not of Christ? That's the mind of somebody else or some other spirit, because that's the only way it could cause you to waver in the walk you said God called you to do. So either I'm walking in a kingdom mindset or I'm walking in somebody else's mindset. I'm telling you, you can be as cute and handsome as you want to, but if you don't understand the power of knowing who you are in Christ and walking in it and using the kingdom tools, not the man-made tools, you will continue to get tossed and wonder where you are and where you're at. Because I'm telling you, the church is us. We can go to every building and we can transfer churches from here into the ends of the earth. We can go to church in Detroit, Dallas, California, and we can be looking and searching and searching. But it is in us. Everything we do as walking believers, hallelujah, it starts in us.
Hallelujah.
So the question, who are we? Who are you? How do you walk? What's your assignment for your platform? And how are you operating it? Have you studied it? becomes your assignment. And your focus is not on the people. And what happens is we focus on the people, and then we begin to sabotage and destroy other churches, meaning the bodies, the individual temples.
Mm-hmm.
We destroy them because mm-hmm. we are operating in a place of a natural mind and not a kingdom mindset. And so the reason why sometimes even in evangelism, we move forth in places or wonder what's happening is that God sometimes has to get our attention to make sure we understand
right.
who we are as an individual, what our gift is and how it's to be used, and make sure that we're ready to go where he's called us to go without searching for it everywhere else, but searching for it through our connection and relationship in him. And so many people aren't willing to do that. And so the church, when we disciple new believers or we disciple leaders, we forget to make sure we have strong soldiers before we begin to dish out, you know, giftings and callings and, you know, opportunities to preach and all that kind of stuff. We got to, as leaders
yes.
in the church, we have to step back and make sure that that person is delivered and healed and ready and really understand
right.
what it means in kingdom.
Amen. That's so true. That's so true. Woman of God, I'm going to share this, and I'm going to expose the devil right here and right now, because we are very emotional when it comes to our worship service. Particularly, I'm saying, in our African community churches. And we connect that somehow in such a higher level than biblical understanding. And so I'm saying what I'm saying now because animosity is a spiritual tactic that the enemy uses to cause division.
Yeah.
It was first
yeah.
demonstrated between the first two sons, Cain and Abel. And Genesis 4, and it says in 1, in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. The first thing that became apparent to me is we have to make sure that we are abiding by God's will. We have to be able to not offer to God what we think is best, but what God requires of us. And this is the question, and this is the self-reflection I'm asking for myself, for you, and everyone that's blessed to listen to this broadcast is, am I giving God what he requires from me? And am I giving it willingly? God said, if you got a begrudge and if you got a moan and groan, keep it. He don't even want it like that. So it's a spiritual mindset that we have to have of obedience and submission, because the devil will say to us, he says, you know what? I can do things my way, and I believe it'll please God. And then we'll come into contact with someone that's doing God will God's way, and then we will see and summarize some sort of difference somehow in what they're doing and what we're doing. So rather than, woman of God, inspect what I'm bringing to God and ask them, am I being proper? Am I being right? What we do is we will despise someone else and their gift, just like Cain and Abel experienced, and we will, in our own countenance, allow the enemy to create feelings of discouragement and anger even towards our brothers. Now, we're talking about blood brothers. So if it can happen in blood brothers, we already know it can happen with spiritual brothers as well. So, saints of God, examine ourselves like the Bible tells us. Am I being wholly honest with myself in my offering to God? Because you said it so right, woman of God. It doesn't matter how many likes you got on your page. It doesn't matter how many times people call you. If you're not working in the same vine, he said that we are the branch, and he is the one that connects us to the root. I promise you, woman of God, if it ain't in the root, it's not going to be in the fruit. We can't perpetrate something. They talk about fake it till you make it. I don't know who said that, but it wasn't somebody that was following Christ, because you cannot fake it and expect to make it. You got to wholeheartedly give yourself to God. Woman of God, with the few minutes that we have left, unless you have some more reflection on that, I do want to talk about the triumphant show. Did you have any more reflections on that so that we can move on? Because you said a whole book full.
I get excited, Ron, and I get so passionate about the Lord and just hoping that people will rise up into their position. But the only thing that came, or the one thing that came to my mind, so I don't want to take up too much time, is in Psalms 133, it talks about dwelling together in unity. And my God, if people
That's right.
could understand when the song of the ascent that's spoken of in the Bible talks about how good and pleasant it is and what happens about the oil flowing, we will see more
good.
Change in our nation through our ministries if we did things as a unified, and I'm talking about not unified in the work. I'm talking also about unified mind and unified moving.
That's right.
And how the oil that runs down and what it does, it talks about it in the scripture, and at the end of that scripture it says that, for there the Lord bestows his blessings, even life forevermore. So that tells me that in the place of removing the hatred, as if I'm walking as a leader in the church or the body of believers, I have to be careful because I don't want to make the soul of the church or the church in us individually sick by carrying unforgiveness and hatred in us, because it's the place of prosperity. And I want to understand, we have to understand that as we walk together, as the scripture says, that there's a commanded blessing because of the oil that's released from that unified place. So God has already given us the word and tools, tangible tools, that in that day, what will happen? He even telling us what's going to happen. And some of us still neglect what the word says. He already told us. And so, you know, I get excited about that, and I just want to encourage that unity, because it releases the oil, and that oil can destroy those yokes so that we can receive the commanded blessings. And I think the blessings is more beyond prosperity. It's to bless people's lives, nations, territories.
Amen. And we need to fully understand that when God sends a gifted person to our atmosphere, to our proximity, that the gift that they have is meant to be a blessing to us. But when we allow animosity to rule over us, we are actually shooting ourselves in the foot, because the person that God sent with that gift, even if it's the same gift that you have to bless you, we've rejected it. We have rejected it because he thinks he sounds better than I do, or she thinks she all that. That's not even what it's all about. I'm going to say this, woman of God. John the Baptist preached one of the greatest, shortest sermons in the scripture. He said, I must decrease that he may increase.
Yes.
Now, listen, I don't think the church body fully understands the beauty of how to decrease in Christ. We want to increase and build a name. We want our parking space. We want our particular seat. And we want people to acknowledge us every time we show up. That's not what it's all about. As long as we have favor with God, like woman of God Joy Bryant just sang about, and as long as we are following in the footsteps of Christ and fulfilling our calling, our created purpose, and our destiny, that is how we increase in God, whether they don't put our name on the platform, whether they don't call our name on the speaker system. We increase internally first, and then whatever comes extra with that. If people choose to give us our flowers now and bless us, that is just an added blessing that will surely come when we seek ye first the kingdom of God and not trying to build our own kingdom under the umbrella of God. Oops, I said it. I meant it too. I meant every word. Woman of God, the triumphant show. The triumphant show. Talk about what it means to be triumphant, and then tell my listeners about this amazing platform that you had. Talk about being triumphant. What does that mean?
I love this platform that God has given me, because basically the Triumphant Show is it was birthed from a place where, you know, when God was saying, well, if you went ahead with what was asked of you, what would you call it to do? And as I prayed, I remember saying, God, the Triumphant Show, the place where victory repeats itself. And so the name was actually birthed from a place where God was reminding me of how he still brought me back up over and over again. You know, I'm a survivor of domestic violence, and God has still blessed me with, you know, just still having life. I've gone through so many trials and tribulations that I won't go into right now, but there's so much, and God has just shown his face and brought me back to my feet because I stayed in that under his will. And so the show was birthed from that. So the people that come on the show, you know, I pray that God sends divine people, guests, not anybody, because I won't take anyone, so I want to stay committed to the purpose and the plan God has for me.
Yeah.
So I always ask everybody, what's your story? Because our goal is to set captives free. Jesus came to serve and set the captives free. So that my platform is to be a serving God, but setting people free tangibly. So when you share your song and your book and whatever it is, how is that setting people free? How can we come in agreement and bless a listener in the UK or Canada or Nigeria to set them free that night on the show? And so that's how it was birthed. And it's been on several platforms, and there's a few more that's coming. And even the pandemic has been pausing. And even at the pause, God said, just keep going, do the best you can. And I have, but I just thank God for it. Every Monday night. At 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, and we do show it live on Facebook, even though it's not taped from Facebook. Of course, showing so that people can watch if they don't check other places. But it's just been such a blessing. I think it's going into 5 years. I got to count. It's had some award nominations, and I appreciate all of that. I'm grateful. I'm all in this for the change of lives. I'm in this for people's lives to change, to bring joy and laughter and love and healing and just victory. We can't talk victory and we don't walk it. So I pray that the triumphant show releases a spirit of victory in people's lives. Even if they want to come and just they only showing up because they have their favorite guest is on, their best friend. I pray that God just even gives a spirit of love in their spirit just for being a spectator or a monitor, whatever
it is.
I pray over the show and the people, and so that's what it is. So I tell people, if you listen, watch, or come on the show, my prayer and belief, and I know that you will receive something in your own life that will be triumphant, because God always wins. He wins every battle, no matter what it looks like. He's the winner. And so all we have to do is remain humble and true to who he is.
Amen. Now, see, you're talking about how your platform was birthed. We don't just come up with these titles for shows arbitrarily and randomly, what sounds cool and what's trending. When I was drug addicted from 1993 until the year 2000, had went to several rehabs, at least seven or eight over an eight-year period. And when I was finally standing homeless on the streets of Detroit, which is known as Cass Corridor, where robbery, rape, drug addiction, assault, murders, and carjacking was a common occurrence in a six-block square area near downtown Detroit, Cass Corridor, I lived there in the most horrendous days of my life for 30 straight days. No bath, no haircut, no shave. For 30 straight days, I had become a cracked out bum. I'm telling you all, because when I couldn't take it anymore, Lady Sharita, I prayed to God. And this was as a backslidden believer, because my relationship life was tragic at best. And I prayed and I said, God, if you just restore me, whatever you say to me to do, I am saying yes right now. And there was a fire that was lit in me 22 years ago that's still burning bright. That's why this fire, the gospel experience, is what it is, because I went through a gospel experience that set me free from active drug addiction and drew me closer to God than I had before I backslid. If you can tell me about the wisdom of God, I don't know what is. Yeah. And I share that testimony because there's someone out there that have not quite yet received the boldness to declare the testimony about where God has brought them from. So guess what? I just shared it to demonstrate to you there is no shame in what God has done for us, what he will do, what he has done. We deserve to give God our utmost sincere praise that we have while we have the chance, woman of God. I am convinced of that. Woman of God, when does your broadcast come on Facebook And I'm sure if you'd like to give an invitation to somebody to be your guest, please feel free to do so. And any contact information that you may have so that someone listening to this broadcast, that's a program director, that's a pastor, that's over a woman's retreat, over a revival, they're going to invite you to come and share and speak. How can you be contacted, woman of God? Share your information so that your borders can expand even beyond what they already are.
My God, my God, oh my God, thank you. So the show, the Triumphant Show, is on Monday night. You can just go to my page, Dr. Sherita Lovelace, at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And to be a guest or for booking or for anything, you can, of course, instant message me, but you can also email me at Sherita Lovelace Ministries at gmail.com, and that's SHERIDALOVELACE, and then ministries, STRIDS, at gmail.com for any booking, or just if you want to be a guest and want to reach out that way, or for anything else, I am able to reach there, and I would love to connect with anyone. It's a joy for me.
And then, of course, y'all, she's on Facebook, Dr. Sherita Lovelace. What other social media do you have, woman of God? Twitter, Snapchat, Instagram?
Yeah, so my Sherita Lovelace Twitter, which I haven't posted a lot on that. I need to get better. Instagram, I am on Instagram at Sherita Lovelace. And I'm at SL Media Ministry. So I'll post every now and there with, got to catch up on that too, but where I post media and events, et cetera, on there. But Sherita Lovelace, I look for everything in terms of Instagram, and Sherita Lovelace Ministries also is another Facebook page. So that's my main Facebook page, Sherita Lovelace Ministries, as well as Dr. Sherita Lovelace for Facebook. So those are other areas social media-wise.
Well, woman of God, you are a blessing. You are a gospel darling. We love you. We appreciate all that you do, all that you are in Jesus. We pray that God will keep you, cover you, bless you, lead and guide you always. And I pray that God will continue to smile his continued blessings and favor on your life. I appreciate you so much. Look forward to having you come back to this Fire Gospel Experience. Anytime you're ready, if I take too long, you get in touch with me. If I got to move somebody out the way, I'll do it. I will do it.
Yay.
Thank you so much.
Always a blessing. Thank you so much. Love and appreciate you. And likewise for me, anytime.
Amen. Thank you so much. That's woman of God, Dr. Sherita Lovelace. Y'all better get with that young lady. She's going places in Jesus, y'all. Amen. Goes right there. Amen. Amen. I just so adore and appreciate the people that God has put into my life, and I'm always looking for more of you beautiful, blessed, anointed people. If you want to be my special guest on Fire, 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 the Gospel Experience, you get in touch with me, Ron E. Jefferson, right there on Facebook. Write me a message, and I promise I'll get back to you. Or you can send me an email address. If you're a gospel artist, you got that good hot track that's gospel high, anointed with oil from heaven and ready to be played, looking for some place to get some airplay, I got you, sister. I got you, brother. RonaldJefferson1@AOL.com. I promise you, it's all good. Give me a call, 870-413-0220, and I do like we just did with woman of God, Dr. Sherita Lovelace, and we'll put you right there in that VIP seat and let you share about the good things that God has done, is doing, and what you believe will do in your life. You're tuned in to Fire, the Gospel Experience, and I'm here as a living witness to let you know, I'm talking to you, I'm talking to you too, that God is able. Don't you know that? Well, listen, I promise you, he is more than able to do for you what you could never do for yourself. Here's man of God, Emery Toler, singing about it. Our God is always able, able, able.
the time, all the days. You know that God is able. He's able to do all things for me and for you.
Hi, this is gospel recording artist Brenda Quater, and I am coming to you from Arizona. I am the CEO of the Arizona West Coast Gospel Music Awards. We are coming to you October the 7th, 2022, and we are bringing our very first annual Gospel Awards. Yep, you heard right. We want to see you in the place. It's going to be in Scottsdale, Arizona at One Church Scottsdale. The tickets are only $25. Come out and show your support. You may be the winner. You never know. You won't know until you show up. Look forward to your support and to seeing you on the pink carpet in Scottsdale, Arizona on October the 7th.
From the foundation of the world, I chose you. Before the earth was formed, I knew you. From the womb to your golden age, I carried you. Cast all your cares on me, I care for you.
Hello, I'm Pastor Derek Easter, and you are listening to Fire. the gospel experience where the fire is a moving, uplifting, and unrestrained experience of biblical inspiration and gospel music. I pray that this fire radio ministry will uplift your spirit and give you new strength. Keep it tuned in and bless your family, friends, and coworkers by telling them about fire on this station.
Amen, amen. Thank you, thank you. That is my pastor, Pastor Derek Easter, over there at New St. Hurricane, located at 3319 South Ohio Street, right here where I'm broadcasting from, my birthplace of Pine Bluff, Arkansas. Just want to let you all know that you are certainly invited if you're in the Pine Bluff area or if you're in the Southeast Arkansas area. You can be from Dumas, Alfheim, or wherever you choose to travel. You will be blessed by an anointed Sunday worship service at 11 a.m. every Sunday morning. Our Sunday school is at 10 a.m. to 10:45. And join us either in person or online for our Christian Life Study with a New Day and a New Time at Wednesday at 6 p.m. and then on Wednesday at 12 p.m. noon time. We're right there at the corner of 34th Street and Ohio, 3319 South Ohio. We have been so blessed. Our church has grown, and it's not about numbers. It's about the impact and relevance that we have in the community that people are coming to be a part of New St. Hurricane. We have been blessed with a brand new Hype Center helping our youth people evolve, as well as a brand new food distribution center. And right now, our newest project next is our fitness walk park under construction. So please come and be a part. You don't have to join our church. We just want you to come fellowship with us and be blessed. Amen. Goes right there. We are sharing for our spiritual consideration from the book of Matthew, the 5th chapter, verses 43 and 44, where it reads, "Ye have heard that it hath said, been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy." Now, there are basically three groups of people that we believers must, will, and shall encounter at some points in our lives. That would be friends, neighbors, and enemies. It's no coincidence, however, that the same category of people queried our Lord Jesus' ministry. Some believed, some doubted, and some were hostile. And our Lord Jesus made specific points on how we are to properly interact with all three of these individual people groups. But my concern is with the scripture references that I see may have been misaligned in our thinking. So, as Holy Spirit God has guided me to share my thoughts, which I believe will provide us with a more sure perspective on how God intends for us to engage with our enemies. Now, it's no doubt, we Christians are living in a world inundated with hostility and enemies in more places than we can suppose. And in my OJ voice, they smile in your face all the time. They want to take your place, the backstabbers. We, in our past, unsaved, unredeemed, and untransformed lives, would have given ourselves to the world's philosophy of dog eat dog. Every man, woman, for themselves. All fair in love and war, and so on and so on. But when we fight fire with fire, there is more perpetual and collateral damage done. Matthew 5 and 38 says, "You have heard that it had been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth." Matthew 5 and 39 says, "But I say unto you, that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also." So, as Christians, we are told by our Lord Jesus in what very specific way that we are to interact and address those who have chosen to be confrontational and our enemies. Matthew 5 and 43 again says, "Ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. Now, you know, that comes as a very natural response for us because we would normally love to treat people the same way that they are treating us. If you hate me, you better believe I'm going to hate you back, and I'm going to try to recruit all my friends to feel the same way I do about you. Make no mistake about it. But what I have heard in many sermons, Bible studies, by even national and world-renowned ministers and pastors, and I'm not trying to oppose them in any way or deflect from the success and magnitude of how God has blessed them. I'm just sharing this because it's the scripture verse that has really never really set well in my spirit. I got to confess that, and it is true. And it is from the scripture verse in Matthew, verses chapter 5 and verse 44. Where it says, the Lord said unto my Lord, Matthew 22 and 42, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool. Matthew 22 and 44. Then a whole majority of the church congregation would rise up in the sound of consensual victory with a boisterous shout with glee. Amen! But may I humbly submit that this scripture verse was not spoken to the church body of believers? No. But in fact, was a unique and very exclusive conversation between the Godhead of Father to Son, our Lord Jesus, as was the first recorded Godhead conversation, including Holy Spirit God, where Genesis 1 and 26, and God said, let us make man in our image. They're not talking to the church body about the church body. The church body was not even produced at this point. This was the Godhead, the Lord speaking unto the Lord, again, including Father, Son, Holy Spirit. In this particular verse, this was God the Father speaking to God the Son, Matthew 22 and 44. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou here on my right until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Notice, the addresser to the addressee. The Lord said unto my Lord is very plain language to interpret. Nowhere in there is the church body of believers mentioned. We as believers have been guilty of applying this scripture verse to our faith belief because it appeals more to the natural or carnal side of our duality that still exists in every believer rather than the spiritual side of us. To adhere to and apply this scripture in light of the world to see. Matthew 5 and 44, Jesus, our Lord, says, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute it. And didn't he demonstrate that on the cross? What did our Lord Jesus say when he was being tortured, ridiculed, humiliated, and finally nailed to a cross? Did he say, Father, make them my footstools? No. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, this is a great measure for the body of Christ to reexamine this, what I am sure to say, is an improper theological principle that we have used to really just hammer a nail into our persecutors, our tormentors, those that we have called our enemies. And it is up to us to reexamine this improper theological point regarding how we are to intervene and interact with those who oppose us for our faith and any personal reasons as well. Matthew 5 and 45 says that ye may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. And I hear you saying, Brother Ron, what you're asking is a whole lot to deal with. Yes, yes, I know. I know. It is actually something virtually impossible for us to deal with on our own. Matthew 5 and 39 says, but I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. What our God is challenging us believers is to take our faith beyond mere human comprehension. When we turn the other cheek, metaphorically or realistically, it says that we are not to fight back with the same evil intention, thus keeping the bitter feud going, but give the offender another chance for redemption, reconciliation, and stop the blood feud in its tracks. With the powerful peace of spiritual water on human created fire that lessens the collateral damage and moves us toward a speedier coming together. It's God working through us that we could never possibly ever achieve on our own. We're talking about thine enemies from Matthew 5 and 43 and verse 44 on this fire gospel experience. Just giving you something to consider for your spiritual consideration right there, right there. Amen goes right there. You all are tuned into fire, the gospel experience. We are here to honor God in everything we do. We're not here for personal recognition. We're not here for fame. We're not here for accolades. If there's anything that we would do that would bring God more glory, we say hallelujah. We say bless your name, God. We lift you up in high praise. We are here to encourage every body of believers to let your light so shine as God has given you that portioned measure of his spirit, which he declares he don't give it reluctantly. And he don't give it with any second thoughts. He gave it to you to honor and glorify him and so that you could have opportunity, like myself, to be judged as a faithful, honorable, and fruitful servant. Here is Dr. F. James Clark and Shalom Church featuring Michaela Howard, just thinking about how grateful we are that God has rescued me. Yeah.
Patiently on the Lord and
Hallelujah goes right there, church. Amen goes right there. Sounds of Dr. F. James Clark and Shalom Church featuring Michaela Howard. Thank you, God, for rescuing me. And I'm thankful that he's rescuing you, too. You tuned in to Fire the Gospel Experience, where we're talking about thine enemies from Matthew 5, verses 43 through 44 for your consideration, just for your thoughtful understanding about the importance of having the right understanding and scriptural support to go with things that we say. We can't just go by things that we've always heard in church and then carry it on without inquiring. The Bible declares that the believers in Berea were more honorable because they examined the scriptures to see if those things that the Apostle Paul was talking about was actually true. So what our God is challenging us believers is to take our faith beyond mere human comprehension. When we turn the other cheek, like the scripture verse that I just quoted before, Dr. F. James Clark and Shalom Church sang about, he rescued me, featuring woman of God Michaela Howard. We turn the other cheek. Yes, it says that we are not to fight back with the same evil intention, thus keeping that bitter feud going. But give this turning the other cheek is metaphorically, and it may happen realistically in your world, but it gives the offender another chance for redemption and reconciliation. That's why it's so crucial to our understanding that we are all an ongoing project of spiritual transformation. We are all a great work in progress. What we're talking about now is high-level spiritual living in Jesus. We don't expect someone that just got saved or someone that just came to their first summer vacation Bible school to get this. But the object is to put it out there so at some point we will strive to have the higher meaning of God's word apprehended in our lives. Ephesians 2 and 10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God before ordained that we should walk in them." So why would we do this subjective biblical turnaround with our understanding? It's because at some point in our lives, y'all, we too were all God's enemies. And what if he, God, did to us what many Christians would propose that God would do to our enemies? No. Romans 5 and 8 says, "But God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Obviously, we would have no standing ground to seek punishment for others that we would deny for ourselves. Because Romans 3 and 10 says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." And even in the seasonal summation of the cycles in our lives where God displays his favor on us to our enemies, like it says in Psalms 23 and 5, yes. Brother got scriptures for y'all for real today because Holy Spirit God had me rewrite this whole summary and this whole biblical subject. The word of God says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of thine, mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil." And guess what? My cup really does run over. This is the word of God. And what we need to understand is it doesn't say that this is the epilogue to that story. This may very well be the impotence where our enemies see the hand of God moving over our lives. And with the agape love of our demonstrated acts of Christian compassion, where the Bible says that when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was in dire situations, you clothed me. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was cold, you took me in. When I was incarcerated, you visited me. These are the agape acts of demonstrated Christian compassion and kindness that turns what may once have been an enemy into a beloved brother in Christ. Even in spite of their tricks and traps against us, it may actually be the final evidence needed to convince themselves of their need to repent and change and seek God's faith and be redeemed. But if we make them and give them final judgment that they be placed under our feet as our footstool, where is their opportunity to repent, to be redeemed and change? And more personally, What if we were somebody's enemy and somebody prayed that we would be placed under the footstool of our Lord Jesus Christ? How would you like to be in that place? None of us would. So let us consider what this scripture says about placing our enemy under a footstool. And not talking to fellow believers. It's our Lord Jesus being spoken to by Father God for people that ultimately refuse to accept him as Lord and Savior. This is where they will eternally be, under the precious feet, under the pierced feet of our Lord Jesus Christ, because they ultimately refuse to accept the invitation to come to the celebration of the Lamb and have their sin washed white as snow. You tuned in to Fire the Gospel Experience. We're going to take you out of church with some good old traditional gospel music from my sisters in Christ, the twins, Katrina and Katina, Pine Bluff, Arkansas' very own gospel singers, sending me relatives' music, their uncle and other relatives known as the Smith Brothers, letting us know that our God can do no wrong. Hallelujah.
This is my daily prayer.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I am Reverend Red, the pastor and founder of Power of the Gospel Ministries and also Mighty King Basketball Youth Ministry.
Hello, I am Lady Crystal, success coach, five-time Amazon best-selling author, podcaster, publisher, clubhouse host, and speaker.
And we are the humble hosts of the Power Lift broadcast on Positive Power 21 Christian Media Radio with our brother, CEO, and founder, Jerry Roy.
And you can find Power Lift podcast every Thursday night at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Please check us out on Spotify. Look for Red, R-E-D-D, and Crystal Henry.
Our virtual ministry is on Facebook under Red, R-E-D-D, Red Henry, every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. and 10 a.m., and also on Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. We're looking forward to you to join us.
Check us out, powerofthegospel.org for more information, or crystalhenry.net.
You are listening to
Fire!
The Gospel Experience, where the
fire
is moving, uplifting, and unrestrained experience of biblical inspiration and gospel music.
I'm inviting you to let the light of Jesus Christ shine bright in your life. So by all means, keep it tuned in to
Fire!
The Gospel Experience, which will uplift your spirit and give you new strength.
Be a blessing to your family, friends, and co-workers by telling them about
Fire!
On this station, it's all about
Kingdom building.
From the rising of the sun until the going down of the stream, my God is worthy. Put your hands together like this. Like a mountain high.
giving God his just praise right here on this fire gospel spirit. Thank you, woman of God. Cara Nicole with new music, new celebrations of God is great. And I promise you, he is greater than that. We have no words adequately to describe how great and awesome and magnanimous our God is, but we certainly do our best. We are creating new words every single day to give God his just praise. Thank you, woman of God, Cara Nicole. Yes, yes, yes. We agree with you on this fire gospel experience. God is great. I want to thank my special guest, woman of God, apostle, TV, radio personality, author, real estate agent, global speaker, choreographer, woman of God, to Dr. Sherita Lovelace for coming in and setting the spiritual table so well. She came in and preached three sermons. I don't know if y'all caught that or not, because I know y'all was probably in the spirit just like I was, just receiving it. Just taking in that bread of life. Thank you, woman of God, Dr. Sherita Lovelace. We are so blessed to have you listeners support this fire gospel experience. You can always go to my YouTube page, Ron E. Jefferson, and pull up 4.5, going on 5 years of archive fire the gospel spirit program. Feel free to click like, subscribe, all that good stuff, and share it with somebody that you want to bless and be a blessing to. You can also go to my Twitter page, Ron E. Jefferson 60, and pull up those same fire gospel experience programs archived and saved for God's glory, for your benefit as well. We are so grateful, each and every one of you. If you'd like to make a donation to this broadcast, we certainly appreciate those gifts of love. My Cash App is $RonEFire60. Thank you, thank you, thank you much. Want to leave you with this final thought, this final word, final inspiration, if I may. For God has blessed us so, I just believe that it would be every Christian's desire that we should live in such a way that honors God, that it motivates the next generations after us to do the very same. Live your life wholly, abundantly, submissively, obediently to the will of God, and struggle through everything that will you struggle through. It will only make you stronger. It will only make you better than you've ever been before. Amen goes right there. Want to leave you with one of my favorite groups, and that is Agape Music Group, because when you give God your best, you'll find out that you will get closer to God. Y'all be blessed in the Lord.
Draw me close to you, draw me close to you. Draw me close to you, closer to you. Draw me close to you, closer to you. There is joy here, closer to you. There is peace here, closer to you. So much love here. So would you draw me close, so that if I seek you, I'ma always find you. Said that you were near to those who call on you in truth. Well, I'm calling, and I'm looking, looking for you. I see you in the rain and feel you in the sunlight. I hear you in the wind and see you in my children's eyes. I'm still looking, and I'm still needing so much more. Draw me close to you, closer to you. Draw me close to you, closer to you. Draw me close to you, closer to you. Draw me close to you. Make me more aware of you, so I can see you.
my children's eyes, but I'm still looking, I'm still needing so much more. Oh, would you draw me close to you? Close to you. Draw me close to you.